Hi, I'm Laurie Tobin. Welcome to Bow to Stern. My husband, Adam Iverson, Captain Adam, will be joining us for these episodes. Are you new to boating? Well, our show will teach your family how to have an awesome, fun time on the water. We're going to show you paddle boards, kayaks, sailboats, and motorboats, and so much more. We're going to show you what you need to know so that you can have an awesome time on the water with your family. Welcome. Well, today we want to show you a sailboat. This is my boat. This is Catfeet. It's our 31-year-old J34C. We love this boat. We have an absolute blast on it. So today we're going to go check with Adam and see what he's up to. I know he's got a little repair and he's going to give us some really good boat tips about buying a sailboat. Today Adam has been working on the autopilot, so let's see how he's doing. Hey honey, how's it going?
Good.
Okay, Adam, so how'd you fix that?
So I was just checking the autopilot because it was the belt that went bad. But now it's good. So we love this boat. It's 31 years old. Works for us because we enjoy boat projects and working on the boat. Other people might prefer to have a newer boat that has fewer issues. It can be easier. And the fun thing of an older boat, number one, if you enjoy projects, you'll have plenty of them. And two, you can save a lot of money potentially, at least in the purchase price of the boat. So it's worked out well for us. I mean, just in the last couple of years, Les had to fix the autopilot, had a contaminated fuel tank. That can happen to a boat almost of any age. Most fun project was replacing the engine 5 years ago. That was like the most fun project ever. Put all new instruments in. That actually probably took more time than replacing the engine. The instruments come, they all plug together, it's totally plug and play. I had them hooked up on the dining room table 10 minutes after the box came, but actually installing them in the boat took all winter long, running the wires and figuring out how they'll go. So there's always projects on boats.
It's a lot of work, but Adam is very good at fixing things, so that works out very well. Yeah. And when Adam was away at sea, this came undone. This is the backstay. And if you don't have this working well, the whole mast falls over. So I got him at sea. Where were you in?
Israel.
You're in Israel. It's like, hey, Adam, that thing is hanging. He goes, oh, that's an emergency. You need to get somebody immediately out to the boat. And he drew a picture and a diagram, which we probably still have.
Yes, of this thing with a screwdriver stuck through
right
it.
Right through it.
It's like, so, get a screwdriver, hook it up, stick the screwdriver through it.
And tape the crap out of it.
That'll be good enough.
Yep. And so I always eyeballed the boat. So wherever you are, if you have a boat on a mooring, someone needs to keep an eye on it because things happen and they happen quickly. So I was noticing that doesn't look right. And so I was able to get Adam and luckily he said, yeah, that's an emergency, ASAP. So within 12 hours, we were able to deal with that, which is important because you could destroy your boat. So a lot of times people keep their boats at marinas and that's a good thing because people see stuff. Our boat is kept around the corner, so not as many people have eyeballs on it, but there's enough people around. They know your boat. If something's going on, usually people will tell you. But it's really important to know who's keeping an eye on the boat. You don't leave it for weeks on end without someone checking it, making sure that the bilge, which is an area where water collects, right?
That dry, yes.
What else?
Many things. Make sure the mooring's secure, make sure the rigging is secure. One of the things I worry about is this boom getting loose. The main sheet comes adrift and then the boom can swing on the mooring, be really bad. So you check that.
And then there's always the fuel. You always are bringing, you're either going to a fuel dock or you're bringing out fuel.
Even on a sailboat, yes.
We use diesel, so we're always bringing out diesel.
Yeah.
So it's important to have everything that you need. And then the filter, you had a problem. You were coming back from Provincetown.
So that was related to the fuel tank being contaminated. And we were motoring back from Provincetown, and the engine, which is a thing of great pride because I put it in 5 years ago, well, it just shut down instantly, which is a very bad thing. So checked, and sure enough, the fuel filter was totally fouled. Thankfully, we had a spare, because that's one of the things you absolutely want to keep a spare of on board. Had a spare, changed it, we got home, and then I found out that the whole fuel tank was like all black inside with slime.
There's always something that needs to be fixed.
Yes.
Always. And you're always scrubbing the whole, you know, the boat, make sure it's clean. Busy, this boat.
Yes, it does.
So how did we get this sailboat?
So since we don't mind doing projects like we've just been talking about, we looked at an older boat. This boat's 31 years old now. It was over 20 when we bought it. But again, knew what we were getting into, and we didn't mind doing the work that it takes. Of course, the benefit is this boat cost a fraction of what the new one would. So where do you look for a boat like this? Pretty much kind of the same spots you look like for a little Boston Whaler. We got this, what, 10 years ago? 15 years ago.
15 years ago, yeah.
So we bought it from a friend, which is a great way to get a boat because you know its history, you know it's how it's been treated. The internet's just an easy way to start searching for boats. And then definitely you want to have a local broker help. You talk to your friends.
So when we did buy this boat, we had a surveyor to make sure there was no water in the fiberglass, which is very important because older boats sometimes can have water in them and you don't want them water soaked.
You must have it surveyed before you buy it. You get a professional marine surveyor, they go through the boat very systematically and identify any faults. And even if they don't find faults, they can often identify things that you should know about that you might want to improve. So a survey is always a really helpful thing to have on a boat. You learn a lot about your boat from a survey.
Adam's been sailing since you were 11?
12.
12, okay. When I married Adam and started dating him, that's when I learned how to sail. Sails, sometimes you have to replace them every couple of years. Sometimes you send them off and they clean them for you and then they come back, and every year when you're getting your boat together, it's an adventure getting the boat ready, isn't it?
It is. Sails have to be replaced maybe every 10 years or so, 10 or 15 years ago, for cruisers like us. Racers get new sails
all the time.
All the time. Yeah. But cruisers get by 15 years with the same sails easily.
Now, why would you buy a sailboat instead of a motorboat?
Because it's more fun.
I know, but can you explain the price difference? So we went to Provincetown with our club, and a motorboat cost how much to get down there from Hull to Provincetown?
So there's trade-offs, obviously, but motorboats use more fuel. Certainly a gasoline-powered motorboat tends to use the most fuel, and they can be very expensive to run. So you can get an older gas-powered boat pretty economically, but they cost a lot of money to run. The fun thing about a sailboat, essentially, is that the more you use it, the less expensive it becomes. Not literally, but the costs are fixed, and then the more you use it, the more benefit you're getting from your purchase. But a motorboat, every time you fire up the engines, is a significant expense. But that's a small part of the overall thing. It's which do you enjoy more? They each have their benefits. We enjoy sailing. We use this like a motorboat half the time. If the wind isn't right, We're motoring at 7 knots, 6 or 7 knots. So it's like a motor sailor to us.
Yep, but we get from here to there.
We get from here to there, but a motorboat, you can do it a lot faster. So you can get to Provincetown and.
But it costs you more.
Well, that's the trade-off.
This other boat cost almost $1,000 in fuel to go from here to Provincetown and back. That's a lot of money. What did we spend on diesel?
Who knows? $50, if
that. Maybe 50. And this boat is wonderful because I have a galley. The galley has a sink, an icebox, a stove, and a gas range so that I can cook things, so I can make beautiful meals. At the end of the day, it's nice to be on your mooring. The sun is setting, and we have a nice dinner, and then we have a cocktail. We don't have cocktails when we're underway. Not a smart thing to do. You need to, whether you're on a motorboat or a sailboat, know what you're doing and be ready. Expect the unexpected. Always expect the unexpected, because you just never know.
Pretty much all boats. No reason to be drinking when you're underway. It's not a good thing.
It's dangerous. It's really, really dangerous, especially when you have little ones, because things happen to them very quickly. With our son, when he was a baby, I made sure he was tethered, because he's, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 year old, and they just kind of don't think, they're just little kids playing. And I wanted to make sure he was safe, because if he goes overboard, it's traumatic for him, and it would be traumatic for us. He would have a life preserver on, but it would avoid anything unnecessary. So it's better to just tether them up. They'll hate it, but they'll get used to it, especially when they're little.
I mean, on the subject of life jackets, it's always safer if you're wearing them. Certainly if there's bad weather, if you're in challenging conditions, you should have your life jacket on, if not at all times. Many people do wear a life jacket the whole time they're on the boat, and that's
a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
Especially when you're a novice, just saying. Really important to just know the weather. And the radios. Now, what radios do you listen to? Adam is radio man.
Some other important safety equipment on a boat is a VHF radio. We all know that cell phones work great. They work well offshore. They're great to have on a boat, but they're really no substitute for proper marine VHF. It's still the preferred way to call for help, to call the Coast Guard, to call a towing company. Either a handheld VHF or fixed mount is an important, very important piece of safety gear on a boat.
We haven't had any major dramas except for bad weather.
We try to avoid that.
Yeah, except for bad weather once. We didn't expect it, and that was scary.
Yeah.
But that happens once in a while, and you know, it's okay. Luckily, it's not every day. Check the weather before you head out, because you want to make sure it's a good day, not too breezy, thunderstorms aren't coming up. Fog is probably not good for your novices. Adam, there's a lot of fog today. Do you think we're going to be able to go out sailing?
Sure. It's not as foggy as it was earlier. Fog is always a concern, kind of in general. If you don't have to go out in dense fog, it's probably best not to. But it's cleared up enough now that it'll be perfectly safe.
Okay.
We know the harbor. We have GPS.
How many GPSs on this boat?
There's 5 GPSs.
5 GPSs.
Not counting your phones.
Not counting our phones. And then I also have a foghorn, which we use. Remember when we came back from Nantucket this summer?
Oh, we used it, yes.
We did. What was the visibility down in?
I don't know, a few hundred feet.
A few hundred feet. So we would go so far and we would press this, and blocking our ears because it's loud. We don't need to do that today, but it's important to have one of these if you're going to be traveling long distances. So it didn't call for fog today. It didn't call for fog on Nantucket.
It just happens.
It just happens. So you have to be prepared.
You do.
You do. What else can you do if fog is come up out of the blue?
Again, so if it comes up out of the blue, things you do, sound the required sound signals. That's why you have the horn. You turn the navigation lights on as a precaution. Obviously, pay close attention to navigation using the GPS, the chart plotter, the paper charts as a backup, and also adjusting your speed, slowing down.
And during Nantucket, when we were coming back, I was right up here.
Yes.
I was right up here so I could say, Adam, I hear a boat. And Adam would say, okay, let's blast the horn. He blasts the horn.
And that's maintaining a lookout, which
is
critical.
Maintaining a lookout, which it's everybody's job when it's very foggy. Novices probably shouldn't go out in the fog unless they're with somebody who's a professional, like Adam.
Very good. chart plotter. This is kind of the number one tool for navigation. This one is kind of an unusual arrangement where it's tucked into a port light, but we like that. Many boats, many sailboats have them mounted right in front of the steering wheel, which is super convenient. Of course, this is fed by GPS. It's constantly displaying the boat's position, which is the black triangle right in the center. As we zoom out, less and less detail is shown, but you get a big picture view. We go up far enough. Now we can see down to Plymouth, nearly to Cape Cod, and up to the North Shore. So we get a pretty comprehensive view. You would not typically navigate zoomed out this far. You want to see the detail closer to the boat. But you zoom out like this for planning purposes, to figure out where you're going, to measure the distance to where you're going, to get an idea of the course you're going to need to follow. When you're actually using the GPS to monitor your track, then you want to be a lot closer. As we zoom in, now we can start to see the individual buoys or aids to navigation displayed. We can see the rocks, the depth soundings start to appear. So typically when you're moving along on your course, you want to be zoomed in. The chart plotter can be configured to show position, course made good, a bunch of other data, but we have our other instruments for that. So I typically leave this set up on a full screen chart. And that's the chart plotter.
Okay, so now you're wondering, do I buy a boat? Do I rent a boat? What do? Stop. First thing you want to do is develop a plan. What are you going to do with this boat? Are you going to go away weekends, or are you just going to tootle around? Where are you going to put this boat? What size do you want? What's your budget? You want to talk to everybody in your family and get everybody's input. Make sure you get them out on some of your friends' boats so they can say, well, I like a sailboat, I like a motorboat. You got to kind of figure out the big picture. And then you go get a boat. And once you have a boat, then baby steps, a little bit at a time. Make sure you have everything. Make sure you take a safety squadrons class or a safety class so you all know what to do in the event of emergency. So what we do is we all have our own water bottles that we squirt each other with. We have water fights when we're underway. And that way everybody gets to stay cool, but we also get to have fun because we like to squirt each other. We like to, you know, play around. So we still do that now. So it's a good thing to have. Plus it cools you down because sometimes it's really hot when you're on the boat.
So to find out more about boating, there's many, many websites. There's your local yacht club, which are very welcoming to people who are interested in getting into boating. So friends, yacht clubs, of course, websites, power squadrons, many, many good resources for learning about boating.
And maybe we'll see some of you out on the water. We'll see you next time on Bow to Stern.